Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
No, we cannot have quiet on the set because it's time to do a podcast. Well, Brian Noonan Show podcast with me, Cody Goff, and the titular Brian Noonan.
Ha ha, titular.
So good. And it's our Easter podcast.
It is the Easter podcast. We do not have a terrestrial show, so this is a podcast that will Cody will post. It's taking its place. If you're listening on Easter, happy Easter. I hope the Easter Bunny came hopping down your trail and left you a basket full of treats. I spoke to my niece the other night. I said, oh, is the Easter Bunny coming? Yes, the Easter Bunny comes and leaves lots of chocolates. I said, oh, is the Easter Bunny going to come and see Uncle Brian? No, because you're a naughty boy. And I was like, man, this is a very, very smart kid.
Because you're a naughty boy?
I'm a naughty boy.
Did she really say that?
Yep, and so I will not be getting chocolates
wow.
on Easter. We'll see. Well, now I would know. But we're recording this in advance.
Well, I don't know if I'll be able to eat a lot of chocolate because I don't know if my dentist will let me.
Very nicely played. If you listened to the last podcast and made it all the way through the political meanderings of us, you heard Cody mention that he had gone to the dentist. Now, I have not been to the dentist in a number of years. You asked me that when I last went to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
I treat the dentist like I treat every other physician. Unless I am in excruciating pain, I don't go. I brush my teeth. I do floss, not every day. I floss a couple times a week, and I'm always amazed by the debris that comes flying out of my mouth.
Sure.
Because, you know, who knows? Things get stuck up there. But last time I went to the dentist, I got a couple crowns, and then I had to go because I wear a mouth guard at night because I grind my teeth. Because I have so much stress in my life.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if I'm going to get one of those because I
do
the
grind?
Same thing.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Interesting.
I used to wake up. Do you wake up with headaches?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Does your jaw hurt a little bit?
Oh, my gosh. That's why my dentist asked me when you wake up. I actually usually have a bit of a neck ache.
Yeah.
It's different.
So, yeah, I've worn it for well over 20 years.
Wow.
A mouth guard. Yeah, just pop it in. I've gone through a number of them. But the last time, and they're made, like the one I have, is made of heavy plastic, very heavy.
Sure.
And I bit through it. When I had the crowns done, I didn't get a new mouth guard, and he had just ground it out a little bit, so it sat a little weird because the crowns were a little bigger. And so then when I must have hit it just on the sweet spot, and it just cracked it. So I had to go back and get a new mouth guard. But yeah, that might be your problem, because I used to wake up with horrible headaches. Horrible.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I had not been to the dentist in a number of years.
More than 10?
Maybe.
More than 5?
Definitely more than 10. Definitely more than 5. Could have been honestly close to 10.
Really?
We're talking a ridiculous amount of time.
So what precipitated this visit then?
Nothing. I don't have
You
any...
just decided you were going
to
go?
I decided to stop putting it off.
Okay.
Because I just needed to
Did you
to
think
happen.
You had headache or cavities? Did you think?
No. I, at certain points in the last few years, I have felt that maybe I have a cavity here or there because,
okay.
you know, feeling around my tongue, my teeth.
Sure.
But nothing particular, no toothaches, nothing. I just figured, you know what? I need to go and get a cleaning and a checkup, make sure nothing
wow.
needs to get done, and was a responsible adult.
Maybe I should do that. I haven't had a cleaning in a long time.
This is my public service announcement to all listeners.
What did the dentist say? Because they ask you, when was the last time you visited? Just like going into confession. When was your last confession?
He said, well, because I'm diabetic.
Oh.
And he said, it's a good thing you came to see me because...
Your teeth are made of sugar.
He said, it's so strange.
It's not going to work.
It was so bizarre. He said, you look like your last dentist was Willy Wonka. And he just made your teeth chocolate. No, he didn't say that.
I was
just playing off what you said. No. But he said it's a good thing you came in because, you know, you're at risk for certain gum diseases and bacterial infections and things in your mouth that could be really bad. So
is that right?
It's extra important to go. Yeah. So he
just
said,
from your diabetes?
I guess, yeah.
Right,
and I'm type 1. I don't know if he just got it mixed up with type 2. But,
I don't know. Listen, he's a dentist.
But he said, all right, we're going to do x-rays because you should have x-rays every year or every 6 months or something or whatever of your teeth. So
yeah.
Got all the x-rays done. And then he said,
do you have
gonna,
to put that thing in your mouth?
Yeah.
I hate that. When you're going to put the cardboard and you got to bite down on it. Why am I doing it like that? People know. I don't need the sound of me talking like I actually have the x-ray thing in my mouth.
I don't mind that. I didn't mind that much because it was the coolest dentist assistant ever.
Cool by hot, you mean?
I mean...
I know your girlfriend's mom listens to the podcast. Hello, Cody's girlfriend's mom. He's about to say that another woman was attractive and that perhaps he used the spit tray for something else. But don't let that affect how you feel about him. He loves your daughter very much.
She was a lovely young lady who was very polite. And
by polite, you mean wearing a tight shirt.
Listen.
Because as we learned in the last podcast, you are sexist.
This is,
and you were objectifying the dental hygienist.
Always. Oh, very objective. She was objectively putting things in my mouth.
Right.
That I had to bite down on.
Right on.
That.
And you just kept giving her more suggestions of things. Well, I could put that in my mouth.
That just.
Would that be okay?
This is good.
I said, don't. No, she's not listening.
So she held me out for a while. And then Dennis came back and said,
I thought it was weird that she straddled you while she was doing all that.
You know,
that
I thought weird. That was weird at first.
Don't you usually stand off to the side? I like to get better leverage this way. Okay.
Hey, it helped me relax.
Sure.
You know. She said, what channel do you want to put on the TV? And I'm just like, there's a TV in here? What?
Well, you had a TV in there?
There's a TV.
Up on the ceiling?
No, it was on the wall and up in front.
Wow. And I used to take my daughter to this kid's dentist. That they've, you know, that's a big thing now. The dental clinics just for kids, and they had it right above the chair. So as you were laying back, and the dentist was, you know, prying into your mouth, you'd just be looking up, watching SpongeBob.
Oh yeah,
it was very nice.
Not bad.
So you're watching TV.
So I'm there. I
gotta go to a different dentist.
Yeah, I'll hook you up.
Yeah,
with this one.
That's what I used to go. There's no TV, nothing.
No, you're gonna like
tiny
this
little room. My feet. Hit the wall on coming off the chair.
Oh,
horrifying.
No, none of that here. None
it's
of
like
that
Dr.
Here.
Mengele taking care of my teeth.
No, this one I could flip a switch. The whole chair would vibrate.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm kidding. About that. That'd be awesome, though.
That would be awesome.
I just kept...
Except for the dentist who's trying to drill your teeth as you're like... sounds like the hygienist had magic fingers anyway. You didn't need the chair vibrator.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
All right.
So the dentist comes in and says, I'm going to start cleaning your teeth. But we have to set up a second appointment so I can finish cleaning your teeth. Because there's no way we can get it done in one.
Wow, how dirty were your teeth?
He explained to me exactly what plaque and tartar are. Basically, plaque hardens into tartar and becomes a concrete layer.
It's edutainment.
Yeah, so he said, I'm going to start cleaning your teeth. I'm going to try, and I'm going to have to get deep into your gums to get this off.
That sounds painful.
And he said, I'm going to try to go tooth to tooth. I'm going to try not to stay on one tooth too long, and I'm going to move around a lot. But if it hurts too much, we can set up another appointment. You can come back. We can give you Novocaine while we do this.
He was cleaning without Novocaine? Wow. Oh, wait, cleaning. Yeah, usually you don't have Novocaine when you're cleaning.
Not usually. So I just suffered through it anyway.
How bad was it?
It was extraordinarily painful.
Really?
I had to take ibuprofen that night and the next day and the next night and the next morning.
Oh, my God.
It was very painful.
That happened to my daughter. She went in before she went back to school.
Yeah.
She went to a new dentist who had been recommended, and they did the same thing. They were all of a sudden, they were having to, it sounds like you, or dig it in, and they only were able to do half. She was sobbing and pain and her thing, so she had to go twice.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
So, but I kind of made myself suffer.
Do they say, was that from lack of brushing or just lack of getting clean for
just
over 10 years?
Over time. Mostly my lack of flossing, honestly.
Oh.
Mostly because I didn't floss. And he said, you know, you're under 35, so I'm going to cut you a break. You can get away with flossing 6 nights a week. You can maybe skip one. But once you're 35 and over, you got to floss every single day.
Is that right?
He said every single day. Now, again, he thinks I'm at a slightly higher risk, but it sounded like he would prescribe this to anybody.
Floss every day.
Yeah.
I could do that. It's fun.
How long does it take you?
A minute.
Flossing?
Maybe a little more.
See, I got a bottom retainer, so it takes me like, it feels like 10
minutes.
It's
in all the time?
It's permanent bottom retainer, yeah.
No, I just go. And I don't go very far back. I go, you know, across the front to the incisors.
Yeah, that's
maybe one back from the incisors.
Yeah.
And then I, you know.
I got to do them all.
All right.
So
I do like it after you floss, though, because then when you swish the water around in your mouth, you feel it go between your teeth.
Love it.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
And that sound effect.
I'm a weirdo.
Which is the sound effect you might have heard if you walked in on me with the...
with the hygienist, of course.
Yeah, it was a very hygienic visit.
So you've learned a lot, and now you're going to... when do you go back? Did he finish the cleaning the one time? You muscled through.
No. I've got...
You gotta still, go back.
Yeah, so I'm going to finish the second cleaning, and then he said he'll talk to me about filling any cavities I have.
Oh, my God.
Whatever. And I'm going to ask him for some whitening stuff because I want to get my teeth
I was
whitened.
Thinking about that today, but I don't know if you've noticed. And this front tooth? Has kind of a chip out of it. That Molly did when she was a baby. She headbutted me, and she cracked my tooth. I was holding her, and she couldn't have been more than 6 months old. And, well, kids' heads are, you know, they can't hold them up that way.
Yeah.
And you crack, and she chipped my tooth. And so it's, you know, not huge, but I think it's gotten bigger over time.
Do you know I have a minor chip in my front tooth?
Is that right?
Yeah, my left or right. It kind of even, my right front tooth.
That's where mine is.
That's so weird.
Oh!
But mine was from college.
Oh, doing what?
Won't go into that story.
Really?
Sure.
She pushed you off, huh?
Tell you off the air.
No means no, Cody. No means no.
Let's just say I did not make that mistake with the dental hygienist.
So, all right, very nice.
I retained all my teeth. But I would like to, very seriously, kind
please.
Of a public service announcement.
Right.
If you've not been in the dentist for at least a year or two, just go. I know it can be painful. I know it can suck, but... there's diseases you can get. There's gum issues you can get. There's teeth things you can get. And my grandmother just told me a couple weeks ago that getting false teeth is the worst thing that she ever had to do.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Try to avoid that if you can.
I remember my dad had a bridge of fake, you know, of fake teeth that he would drop every once in a while. He'd just be sitting at the table and he'd drop it out just to freak us out. And it would drop down. It was like, ugh. And I remember back in the day, it like being like going to my grandparents' house and seeing their dentures just sitting in a cup. Like, wow. Next to the bed and going, ah.
Yeah.
And then they got to take their whole teeth out. And then they just got the gums. And then they pop there. I'm very Michael Winslow-esque tonight.
I guess,
with
my
sounds. Yeah. Get that in. All right, now I got to go to the dentist. I'm going to try to go. But, yeah, are you getting your teeth cleaned for vanity or for show business or for both?
Well, I got new headshots last weekend.
Right.
So
did your teeth seem all yellow?
Oh, my God. You have no idea.
Really?
You look at the photos, and it's like my face is white, and the teeth are just they're like the yellow on the Chicago's Own Good Hands at the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Oh, my God, no.
Really bad. I will definitely have to Photoshop them. And it's camera lighting. Like, obviously, my teeth aren't Grinch yellow in real life.
No, they don't look yellow in real life.
They're just off-white enough to where if the white balance isn't right, it looks bad.
Wow.
So I'm going to need to get some retouching.
It's weird because I was just thinking about the same thing as I was looking at my chipped up choppers and going, oh, they're kind of uneven. And I had horrible braces and stuff and orthodontia when I was a kid. And I'm looking at them going, yeah, they're kind of, I drink a ton of coffee. I almost swore about what kind of load of coffee I drank.
Wow. Well, hello.
Thank you. But I drink a ton of coffee and I have for 25 years. So I'm guessing that's probably stained them up a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and I've tried, you know, I use extra whitening toothpaste. That doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything.
And I don't know, you know, the strips and all that stuff. I don't, because I did that for a while, too. There was a sponsor back when we were doing Sports Night that, and I don't even remember that. I don't think they're in existence anymore because the stuff didn't work. I used it. I followed their plan. It was supposed to brighten your teeth 18 shades in 10 days. My teeth didn't change. And I'd put the stuff in and leave it sitting under, like an idiot.
Maybe because you had too much tartar on your teeth.
I don't know. My teeth are usually pretty good, but I'll see.
It's hard to know. Once it solidifies hard enough, it's basically like another layer of tooth on your tooth.
Oh, my God.
So
now you've terrified me.
I'm just saying, you're not going to die. I don't want to be all...
I don't know if you ever watched NYPD Blue. Probably
not.
It was before your time, but Bobby Simone, one of the main characters, his downfall came from dental work, where some sort of bacteria was loosened up during his cleaning, and it started bleeding... And it got into his bloodstream, and it messed up his heart, and he died.
Wow.
Yep. So there you go. And that's why I never go to the dentist. And that's why I'm not a New York City police officer.
Wow.
A lot of reasons. I take all my life decisions from network television.
As you should.
That's how I make all of them. That's why I'm now fresh off the boat.
I make all my decisions from network television. That's why the hygienist and I are... Now, officially...
I'm surprised. I thought you made all your decisions based on the mainstream media.
Oh, look at that. Oh, my.
It's a podcast callback. Go back and listen to the last episode. Look, people are standing outside going, why are these two guys talking? And yet I hear John Weideman and Troy Murray calling a fine Blackhawks game. This makes absolutely no sense to me. The light says they're on the air, and they clearly are not on the air.
Not even a little bit.
Nope. But we'll wave. Hello, sir.
You'll wave. I'm going to ignore them.
You are so mean.
Because I'm above them.
Are you really?
All I do is sit here at podcast and occasionally pull podcast audio from 2014 that discusses Easter stories.
Nice how we do that. Since it is Easter and there's always clamoring, and I say that with no lack of irony, but people do like to hear the saddest Easter story ever. So instead of retelling it.
Oh, that's what I was going to look up in the other, before we started recording,
yes.
And I kept saying over and over, why did I open a new tab?
Yeah, why did you open a new
browser?
Tab in this browser?
To look at downloads.
Oh, to see? Oh, yeah, because we don't. I was asking Cody.
Ryan doesn't know how many people listen to the podcast, and I was going to look it up for him.
Here's my estimation. Whenever people say, do people listen to your podcast? I answer the same as do people listen to your show. I say, probably not. Because why set your expectations too high? If you think that millions of people are listening to your every word you say, you're bound to be disappointed. If I figure that nobody's listening, and then I find out that some people are listening, and I know, in reality, I know people are listening, and I'm very grateful. But that way, I go, all right, whatevs, you know, as the young girls say, whatevs.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But yeah, are there? So I don't know. I don't know if people listen. I hope people listen to the podcast. I think they're fun.
They're hilarious.
You know, I think they're enough like the regular show, but different from the regular show, and they're uninterrupted.
They're hilarious. They're zany.
Are they? They're heated. They're honest.
Quixotic.
Quixotic.
They are.
What does that mean?
Serpentine.
They are serpentine. I'll give you that.
They are.
Stream of consciousness.
In a way, in a manner of speaking.
Well, again, I have things on the pad. I have stacks of documents. We get to none of them. Absolutely. Well, all right, let me see this.
Well, we have
We did say on this one, the last one, we said, all right, let's cover our brackets and tell people what happened in our brackets.
Which we did.
And this one we said, all right, we'll tell your dentist story before we go into the Easter story. And so we did that, but it wasn't like we scripted out, because I said, about how long is your dentist story? You go, 5 minutes. And now how long have we been talking?
17
minutes. So, obviously, we didn't script it out and time it like other shows
but
might.
But you said we would do about a 15-minute podcast to intro the podcast that the listener's about to hear.
Right, because that's, I don't know how long that is. Hour?
22
hours?
Minutes.
22 minutes. So that's a nice, right there, you got about 45 minutes, an hour almost.
Yeah, so the last half of this podcast will be Brian's about to intro.
The saddest Easter story ever. Yeah. Which, on Easter, I'm always, when my niece told me that I would not get an Easter basket and chocolates from the Easter Bunny because I was a naughty boy, I knew she was insightful. Because I have always been a naughty boy. Not criminally naughty. But perhaps morally naughty. No, that's not true either. Well, maybe a little bit. But I've always been a little something. And as a kid, I got in trouble, and my parents were at their wits' end, and so one Easter, it all bubbled up to the surface. Now, I had had, and I won't go into the story because you'll hear it, and you may have heard it before, because it's a holiday classic, Cody. Would you agree?
I would agree.
I don't know who you're texting.
No. I was clearing some things on my phone, which I saw you doing 5 minutes ago, so don't give me that look.
A text came up, and I was like, who texted me?
That's what I just did. I didn't open anything. Now I'm ordering Amazon to see what was just delivered to my house.
Oh, what got delivered to your house? What'd you order?
A Mackie Pro FX8 V2 8-channel professional FX mixer with USB.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That sounds fancy.
I upgraded some equipment. Well, when the Gunna Geek Network was in town for C2E2, I got real motivated for my home podcast setup.
Okay.
So I ordered a mixer, two extra mics, and an extra mic arm. So I'll have two mic arms.
And where are you doing your
setup? In the bedroom.
In your rig? Is that where your rig is?
My bedroom is my podcasting studio.
Do you podcast from bed?
Not so much.
Okay.
But actually, I think a couple
times.
Will
you, now that your girlfriend's mom is listening to how about that podcast?
I did a couple, actually, podcasts with my girlfriend, and she sat on the edge of the bed.
You like John and Yoko?
Kind of. Is that a thing? Did they podcast in their bedrooms?
They did a press conference or something from their bed. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I live in a one bedroom, and the living room is 50 feet away from the red line and brown line.
That's true.
So if I did anything in my living room, there'd be a bit of background noise.
What do you put on the walls? Anything?
Not really.
So is it a little? Well,
I got 10-foot ceilings.
Okay.
So I can't really soundproof my room.
So what do you use?
Nothing. Just dynamic mics with the input turned down.
Do you have the little thing behind it? The little shield? There's a little shield.
Pop filter?
I don't know.
I don't know. I got one pop filter.
I asked one of the sound guys upstairs, one of the Jason Skaggs, about it, and he showed me this little screen that comes down behind it, so it keeps kind of keeps the voice right there and doesn't let it go out.
Like a cone of silence in Get Smart?
A little bit like the cone of silence. It's just basically a little screen. If you go up and look in his studio at his mic, it's just clipped down behind it.
Nice.
Yeah. So he told me about some other kind of mic that you could do that helps.
Podcasting can be very complicated.
Can be very simple.
Get a lot of stuff. Yeah. So I was on a panel, Gonna Geek.
Yeah, tell us about that before
No,
I mean,
I
wasn't
supposed to rap, but no, I know it's just funny
because
we always do. Yeah, at the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, C2E2,
I love that, C2E2.
My podcast on WGM Plus called Game Life Balanced US.
There's your one plug per Brian Noonan Show podcast.
Game Life Balanced US is a member of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. If you go to GunnaGeek.com, there is a conglomerate of podcasts amateurs like me, actually, around the country and Canada that do podcasts around a certain Marvel superhero.
Are they all lifestyle?
No, podcasts? They are not life. I know you love that I have a lifestyle podcast. No, those are actually
usually Martha Stewart.
Recipes for disaster.
Are they? Wow.
Yeah.
Flirting with Disaster. Molly Hatchet. Nice.
Wow. Disaster's the name of my dental hygienist.
She a suicide girl?
No, you were just
saying. She all tatted up?
Oh, it could be. That would have been great.
Speak of the devil.
I didn't see her.
You should turn around.
Should I? I will not do that.
Oh, that's a mistake. Go on.
Members of the Gunna Geek Network were in town for C2E2, and we did a panel called Gunna Geek Network Presents Better Podcasting for a Better Life. Oh. And I was on a panel of 5 podcasters, and we talked a little bit about getting a podcast started, some do's and don'ts, some pro tips, some equipment tips, and took a lot of Q&A. And we had over 100 people there, and it was great. And there might be video if you go to GunnaGeek.com to check it out if you're interested in podcasting.
There is video. There's two.
Well, there's a couple clips up now, but they're working on getting the whole thing up. So
yeah,
that was
fun.
Anyway,
mention of you. That's very cool.
And there's mention of me somewhere there.
Somewhere down there. Yeah. So what are they, as I'm looking, a lot of what are their podcasts about?
So like,
oh, TV and film, gaming, tech, comics, other. Are you under the? Are you gaming and tech?
I think I'm under gaming technically.
Let's see.
Because we do occasionally talk about video.
They don't
games.
Have a lifestyle heading. So
no, they don't. WGM Plus does. And
WGM
you can find,
Plus does. Sure, they do.
You can find my podcast under lifestyle at WGM Plus.
Yeah, and they should.
So yeah, the network's been growing very quickly, almost growing faster than we can keep up with website updates. So I know that our network owner is constantly working on retooling navigation, but once you kind of get used to how everything's organized, it's pretty simple to get around relatively. But like Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, here we go. You're the top of the technology. I scrolled right past you. Game Life Balance US podcast episode 11, The Witness and the Dentist. Oh, so this is you're giving me a rerun story.
Yeah. Always do.
Cody gives us a public service announcement about The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
And going to the dentist. John reviews The Witness.
I had
a new puzzle game from Jonathan Blow.
Yeah.
All right.
Legendary game designer. I'm sure you've heard of him. Sure you've heard of him.
I have not.
Just like a Shigeru Miyamoto.
So wait, was your public service announcement just about the dentist like you just told us here?
No.
You actually had a public service announcement about the Legend of Zelda Dungeons.
It was mostly about the Legend of Zelda, then I mentioned that people should go to the dentist.
Okay.
Like very briefly, not as in-depth as that. We didn't talk about my hygienist on that
one.
What's
beautiful? It was a game life balance.
See what I did there.
I like how you did
this
that.
This is how I do.
Very nice. No, so you get a TV and film podcast. There's all sorts of podcasts. Daredevil.
Yeah. There's a Game of Thrones podcast, a Daredevil podcast, a Flash podcast.
I could do the Game of Thrones podcast.
Yeah?
Yeah, just for the first half of every episode.
Like
the first
10
minutes and then the last 10 minutes. And then I could,
before you fall asleep.
Right.
Yeah.
I call it the Game of Thrones donut podcast because the middle is just empty because I slept through it. And I tell you what happened at the beginning, tell you what happened at the end, and then in the middle, hey, you got to fill it in yourself. That's the big hole. What happened there? I have no idea. Why not? What happened to Darian? Or Tyrion.
Darian.
Darian. I don't know. Maybe he changed his name to Tyrion because I was asleep. I don't know what the hell happened.
So are you excited for the next season?
Of Game of Thrones, which premieres April 24th on HBO?
I guess you are.
Yeah, listen. I am because I'm very tired a lot of times, and I need to take a little nap. No, see, what'll happen is I'll have to either read some recaps or go back and watch some episodes because I can't remember anything that happened last season. I know Tyrion went to meet the Dragon Queen. They were going to work together somehow.
Yeah.
Because the guy who had betrayed her captured Tyrion and brought him to her as like a peace offering to try to get back in her good graces.
I don't actually watch the show.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
Not yet. I want to because they're about to surpass the books.
And dragons are in it. Real dragons. Not your foam dragons. Real CGI fake dragons. Those kind of fake.
Those are the kind of real dragons
I want.
Not foam
fake dragons. CGI fake foam fake dragons.
Oh, man.
And they're fun.
My girlfriend once joked, we should have kids just so we can tell them that Santa Claus is that dragon on our wall. Which I thought was hilarious.
I don't.
You don't.
I don't find that. Well, when you have children, you'll realize that's not funny.
Well, it's funny.
To hipster millennials.
Sitting
around playing games, drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon out of a can, and contemplating facial hair. That's hilarious.
I have never contemplated facial hair because I'm incapable of growing it.
Well, then you've contemplated it and realized you can't have it.
Checkmate.
Ha-ha! And that's how we end it.
Too bad there's no Easter dragon.
No, there's an Easter bunny. So anyway, my niece told me I wasn't getting it, and that was not the first time I'd heard that. I'd heard that same pronouncement, you're not getting an Easter basket, maybe not because you're a naughty boy. There might have been some obscenities or something thrown in there. But I've heard that before, and it has scarred me and shaped me. I was, you'll hear all about it on the story, and it's one of those things that I can't shake.
Yeah, basically we're going to just end this live recording right now. We're going to cut to a podcast from 2014 where Brian gives the saddest Easter story ever. So he'll
story.
Set it up in it and all that. And
yeah,
stuff.
You'll
but
hear all about it.
We're just telling you, so I hope you enjoyed this little live bit, and now we're going to throw to the 2014.
Right, because we didn't want to just give you a straight-up rerun. We wanted to give you a little something extra.
Right.
A little Easter egg, as they like to say in the tech world.
They do. In video games. You know where Easter egg came from?
No.
It came from
Easter.
I have to look it up.
Uh-oh. All right. I thought I was going to be impressed.
No,
it's
from a video game, and it's from a video game where there were hidden Easter eggs, literal Easter eggs.
Oh, literal Easter eggs?
But I can't remember what game it was.
Was it Of Thrones?
I'm upset that I don't know what it's from. Here we go. It's an intentional hidden joke or message or whatever,
right.
Interactive media. Released in 1979, this is from Wikipedia, Atari's Adventure, the name is Adventure on Atari, contained the first hidden message in a video game to have been discovered by its players. The message is created by Warren Robinette and was inserted by the game's programmer. Since Atari didn't publicly credit game designers, he inserted the message after the game's completion, partially in an attempt to gain some recognition for his work. And according to him, they called the term Easter egg.
Okay. Did you have to hunt for it?
When Atari personnel alerted them to the secret edition, the staff, I guess, that's where it came from.
Somebody ratted him out?
Mm-hmm.
Punks.
I thought there was a literal Easter egg in some early games, and that's where the name came from. But this could be wrong, too. I don't know. But
it's the internet.
It did come from video games. I do know
okay.
that. I know it originated with video games. So there you go.
Very cool. So this was your – it wasn't very hidden. We started off with it. We served it up, and then you get the podcast, the rerun podcast, or the story.
Yes.
We shouldn't call it a rerun.
Repurposed?
It's a holiday classic.
It is an annual tradition.
It's a tradition.
Well, like our Christmas podcast, we did Yes, Virginia, and we did a couple bits. They're traditions.
Sure.
So Easter tradition, Brian telling the saddest Easter story ever, but he's already told it several times.
Right.
So we figure...
that's how it becomes a tradition.
Exactly. So we figure let's just take a really good version of it and throw that on the podcast instead of just redoing it every time.
So thank you for listening. As always, enjoy the saddest Easter story ever. That seems weird, but enjoy it. And this is exciting. We'll tease this on the podcast because we won't
be here. This is the podcast.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We'll tease it on the podcast.
Okay.
But on April 3rd, you will not be here for the terrestrial broadcast.
Correct. I'm in
Denver.
You
will be in Colorado.
Yeah.
And you have said that you will call in, maybe having imbibed in some edibles.
Well, you want me to do this?
I do.
All right.
Now that it's on the podcast, you must. So Cody will call in altered on April 3rd. But right. The beauty is he's calling in where it's legal, so ain't nothing wrong with that.
All right.
So we'll find out how the... how legalization of marijuana in Colorado affects you.
Can't wait.
It'll be a lot of fun. So we'll do that sometime between 6 and 8 on April 3rd, which is when we will talk to you next. So hopefully you have a good couple weeks. We'll talk to you then.
And happy Easter.
Happy Easter. All right, Easter is Sunday. And I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I'm the oldest in my family, the oldest child. So when it came time to for discipline, I tended to be the guinea pig. They're my parents, my mom now will say that many of the punishments that I received, that I noticed my younger brothers did not, may have been, maybe they didn't think them out as well. They just, it was the first time they were being, they did their best, whatever. So this time of year, Easter always conjures up a memory for me. And I know you have these types of punishments too. And this, once I regale you with this tale, I want to hear from you the most memorable punishments that your parents inflicted on you. Ones that you carry into adulthood. Because this is one, well, listen, I'm over it. I have a fine relationship with my family. It's not something that, has caused me to be estranged from them. There's plenty of other things that would have caused that, quite frankly. But this is not one of them. But it did teach me a valuable lesson about what not to do with my daughter. No matter how much she misbehaved before a major holiday, I would not use that holiday as some form of punishment. So let's go back. And Cody, I think we have some fitting music for this this little bit, the piece, don't we? All right. Oh, that. Well, that's kind of, is that sad? It sounds like ragtime. What am I going to do? The sting? Am I conning somebody? Am I grifting someone out of a bankroll?
Maybe Cody thinks that's how old you are, and this is like music from your childhood.
I said to Cody, "Do you have any sad music?" "Oh yeah, I got sad music." "You're sure?" "He's got Oh, it's not ragtime. All right, so I run the long con, Bob. That was the thing. I tried to get my parents to invest in a shadow company that didn't really exist, and then they got mad at me. Let's take it. Let's go back. It was I rounded a little bit, but it was the spring of 1975. I was in sixth grade, and it's right before Easter. It's actually the night before Easter. Easter Saturday, as we like to call it at the Noonan House and everywhere else in the Christian world. So it's Easter Saturday. Now, my mom has been working all afternoon to create this dinner for Easter Saturday, even though we're having a big Easter Sunday dinner. She wanted to make dinner. So she made a big ham dinner. Now, I have never in my life, up to this point, spring of 1975, in my years up to that point, I had never eaten ham. I had never liked ham, never eaten ham. This was not a secret to my family. But tonight, this Easter Saturday night, the fateful Easter Saturday night. Oh, that's much better, Cody. That's sadder. Sets a tone. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, better than the ragtime. Mammy! So we're sitting around the table. And picture it. It's the small kitchen, a rectangular table. On one side, sitting on a bench, is myself. And to my right, brother number two. Directly across from me sat my father, who would wolf down anything that was put in front of him just so he could get to his cigarette quicker. Because this was back in the day when smoking during dinner was, I guess, acceptable. I don't know if it was acceptable.
Encouraged.
But it was encouraged. That's why we all eat very fast, so we could grab a smoke before we leave the table. Even at a young age, we were, we had our butts rolled up in our sleeves. It was like eating with a bunch of, a motorcycle gang back in the day. So my dad's sitting across from me. On his left would be brother number four. My mom, sitting at one end of the table, to her right is brother number five, and for some reason, sitting at the head of the table, all by himself, like the little prince, is brother number three. And I still, to this day, don't know why he got to sit all by himself. Maybe because he had really bad manners or body, or nobody wanted to sit next to him. Anyway, so my mom brings this ham to the table. And being the only woman in a house full of six guys, she was already in a delicate mental state. pretty much every day of the year because she was outnumbered. She always was looking over her shoulder when she went to use the bathroom. She had to go in with a squeegee and a mop. It was horrifying. I can only imagine when people would say, "Your poor mother," she had to endure a lot. Well, this day she had endured making a huge ham dinner for her brood. Everybody starts eating, and they say, "Aren't you going to eat your ham?" And even at 12, I was incredulous that how little they knew me. And I said, "No, I'm not going to eat the ham. I don't like ham." Well, for some reason, on this particular day, my mom decided she had had about enough. And she lost all control of her mental capacity. She lost her mind. And she started crying because I wouldn't eat the ham. Now, she didn't cure this ham. She didn't slaughter the pig. This wasn't farm to table. All she had done was gone to Jewel and then thrown this ham in the oven. It wasn't that she had put in any extra effort, but for some reason, my snubbing of her culinary offering just did not sit well with her this day. Well, now my brothers are all getting antsy because they don't want to eat the ham either. But they see that my mom's crying, so they're all shoveling ham in like they're, you know, freed hostages. They're eating ham so fast. My brothers all make the same sound, Esmeralda. We all eat. It's a whole Noonan thing. You never want to dine with us. So now my dad sees my mom crying, and he flips out too. Takes out his cigarette, stubs it out in his mashed potatoes, and he's like, "Eat your ham." I said, "I don't want ham." So this was their, this was, and who does, who gets upset because their kid doesn't want to eat ham? But this was the move. This was the parenting move that my mom and dad went for. If you don't eat that ham, you're not getting an Easter basket tomorrow. That's a gauntlet, wouldn't you say? That gauntlet has been thrown down. Well, me being me, thinks to myself, what does he know? The Easter Bunny brings the baskets, not him. This is an empty threat.
This is starting to get sad.
Yeah, well, that's hence the title, Bob. Saddest Easter Story Ever. Musical interlude for dramatic effect. I don't think it has the same effect if I point it out. All right, so I say, fine. I'm not eating the ham. Now, any sane child would have at least taken a bite, eaten some of it, chewed it and stored it in his cheeks like a chipmunk, and then spewed it into the air later. Not me. I'm a man of principles, Cody, even at that age. And I thought, yeah, principles. I thought, no, I'm not eating the ham. Fine. You're not getting an Easter basket tomorrow. Okay, whatever. We'll see. So we go on about our business. My mom's still sobbing now as she's cleaning up. Now she's sobbing because, one, I didn't eat the ham. And, two, there's no Easter basket, allegedly. And, three, she's just weeping because this is what her life has come to, crying over ham. I don't know. I don't know when her dreams shattered and it became the reality that she was going to have to put all her proverbial eggs into the ham basket. And once those were dashed, it just crushed her world. So we go to bed. And my brothers and I all dreaming of Easter baskets. And before, I don't know how it is in your house, but before we would go to bed on Easter, or the night before Easter, we would lay out our empty baskets. So in the living room in front of the couch, there were 5 empty baskets. And they went in order, mine and then my brother's. So we go to bed and we're dreaming of Easter goodness, some nice chocolates, perhaps, who knows, a puzzle, a game, a squirt gun. One year, my brother got a carton of smokes in his Easter basket. He was much older. But that was a banner Easter at the Noonan house when there was a carton of cools in brother number 2's Easter basket. Anyway, this particular Easter, we wake up early, as young kids do. Now, my parents early on had decided that they were going to corral their children on major holidays and most days to keep the young ones from tumbling down the stairs. They had a baby gate at the top of the stairs so that when we came flooding out of our bedrooms, we were stopped by this gate and we knew that we couldn't go down until my parents woke up. But you could see the living room from the top of the stairs. So we're all there at the gate and we're looking down and here the Easter baskets. Oh, and they're wrapped up and the Easter bunny did a great job. Always decorated the baskets very nice. Only problem was, as I looked down, there were only 4 Easter baskets. 4. There were 5 Noonan brothers. And I'm looking
it's
and I'm looking.
Sadder.
And I thought, well, maybe mine has, you know, a bike. So it's off to the side. Maybe there's something big that the Easter Bunny, oh, maybe it's out in the yard. Maybe it's an Easter treehouse. I don't know. So finally my parents get up, and I should have known. My dad cast me a sideways glance. And I thought, eh, still, he's bluffing. No chance. I go running downstairs with my brothers, and there they are. Oh, they because every basket was different, so they knew their baskets. They're all grabbing their baskets. And I'm standing in the living room in my jammies on Easter Sunday morning thinking, where the hell's my Easter basket? You know where it was? Empty under the dining room table. The Easter Bunny had fulfilled my parents' threat and not only didn't fill the basket, but took it away and segregated it, like in solitary confinement, for Easter jail. So my Easter basket was now forlorn, unfilled, stashed under the table. I can't tell you the feeling that I had when I realized that, one, they had followed through on their threat, and two, this was all because I didn't eat ham. So I was...
And there's no... And maybe something about... You might have learned about the Easter Bunny?
Well, yeah, the Easter Bunny is a fickle, horrible bunny. Just
maybe
horrible.
It's just that he knows as much as Santa Claus.
Well, listen, know? I don't... There's kids now listening who... listen, kids, here's the thing. If your parents threaten you with your Easter basket because you're not going to eat, take a mouthful of whatever it is. Choke it down. Don't be like me. Don't stand on your pride. Don't let pride be the downfall of your Easter. And parents, if you're that wacky that you're going to take away your kid's holiday because they won't eat a piece of ham or whatever you're serving, you need to reevaluate your parenting skills. Because I was filled with a mixture of sorrow and rage that I have never to this day encountered again. It was a ball of fury. It was a ball of fury with a candy coating of sorrow. That's exactly what it was. It was an Easter treat that no one should ever have to enjoy. So that was it. Nothing. And it wasn't like they had like the Easter Bunny had left some stuff extra once I had quote unquote learned my lesson that I could then enjoy. No. I don't know what Because I don't know what happened to it. I think my brothers benefited from my stubbornness by getting a little something extra in their baskets that year. But for that year, there was nothing. And then I had to go. So then I'm all sad. My brothers are all ecstatic. Let's get dressed for church. Time to go to church. Easter Sunday morning. Oh, let's go celebrate the resurrection. Everybody's happy, happy. Not me. I've got a ball of rage and sorrow in my stomach. Just a big, big gaping hole of hatred. How could I go? But I have to go. And I run into my friends at church. After church, we're all standing out back. And I'm trying to hide because how do I explain to everyone I know that I am the kid whose Easter basket is in solitary confinement? Exiled. But my friends come up, hey, what'd you get in your Easter basket? You know what I got in my Easter basket? Bupkis. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what did I learn from this, you may ask? That's the question. Brian, do you enjoy Easter ham today? Did you, in fact, have a ham sandwich for lunch? Cody, how many times have I eaten ham since this story? What's your guess?
Zero.
Zero is the correct answer. Now, even if it was the most delicious meat in the world, even if it was, in fact, offered to me to save my life, I am so stupid and set in my ways that I would not eat ham. And have not to this day. So you know what I learned from that? Nothing. Nothing. Next year I got an Easter basket. You know how many times they've offered me ham since? None. Now everybody knows. No matter what. You can't hold a gun to my head. You think a box of Peeps is going to make me give up my principles? Never. So there you have it. The holiday. This is why all this week I will be in kind of a foul mood.
Do you know what ham tastes like? Have you ever eaten it?
I tasted it once, didn't
just
like it.
Just once, so
didn't
you,
like
you
it.
Never had ham. That blows me. And you're not vegetarian.
Oh, no, I'm a carnivore through
you're
and through.
Carnivores
and I eat, and listen, I dig on swine, to paraphrase Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
I eat, man, I'll go ribs, I'll go pork chops, bacon, snout, Just about anything. If I'm in a barn, I'm a little hammer, one of those pig's feet, I'll gnaw at it like
so
a
no
rat.
No ham. You're just not a ham guy.
Now it's a point of, again, I was going to say point of pride, but how stupid is that? But yeah, it's just, and I know there's different kinds, because the kind I had was like a sweet kind of ham. And see, to me, meat shouldn't be sweet. Unless it's got barbecue sauce on it.
Savory ham.
Yeah, see, that's what I hear.
Try that one.
Hey, listen, at this point in my life, Esmeralda, I've tried enough meat. That doesn't sound right.
We could go to the Purple Pig right across the street. They have all kinds of tasting menus, things with fancy sausages and hams.
I love sausages and things. And I've had an Italian sandwich that may have had some something on there.
Serrano.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe something like that. All right, so that's...
What about Canadian bacon?
No, I don't like Canadian bacon either.
Would you eat prosciutto?
I've had prosciutto.
That is ham.
Is that ham?
It's in the ham family.
Yeah, but it's not called ham. Call it something else. This goes back to another. Listen, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm sane. I'm saying I don't eat ham. And now I'm saying that, you know what? Every Easter since, I've made sure that I've bought myself a little candy just in case something like this ever happened again. So seventh grade, before I'm at Ben Franklin with, you know, buying a couple bagfuls of penny candy, stashing it under my bed in case Easter Bunny decides to pull another, some more of his hijinks. Some more of his little, I'm going to deprive you of this because you didn't, you know, who knows what I didn't do that year. Didn't do my homework, didn't get a grade, punched my brother in the eye. Whatever I did, I'm making sure that come hell or high water, I'm having some candy on Easter. That's how that's going to go. Think my brother shared with me from their baskets? No. All right, Linda in Rogers Park wants to jump in. Hello, Linda.
Hello. That's a very funny story, and I like the fact that you use the Yiddish word bubkis.
Thank you.
And I told your producer that maybe you didn't eat the ham because you were feeling your Jewish roots.
Maybe I was adopted, Linda. Maybe that's it. I didn't know I had Jewish roots.
For a long time, I thought that, too, because of my younger sister, although she's really trying now to be a sister and a friend. Now that her folks are gone, they should rest in peace. But as you can tell, I'm a Yidden. And I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, and I'm cultural.
There you go. Okay? So do you enjoy ham, Linda?
No.
All right, good.
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Very, very rarely. My late father was a parasitologist, a bacteriologist, and a microbiologist. Do you want to know what lives in pig if it's not cooked correctly?
No, you're tricking us. We don't know. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for the call. No, I know all about that. Some people empathizing. Somebody saying, cool it on the drama. One person, cool it on the drama. Listen, it's a memory. What can I tell you? My 17-year-old daughter said she would just have to put ham in the... Oh, she would have put ham in the Easter basket. Ooh, listen to that. That kid's going to be a fine parent someday. That's the kind of parenting thinking. Brian, my heart has fallen to my stomach. I can only imagine that feeling on Easter morning. That from Tim. And Brian, it's one of life's lessons that made you the man you are today. Yeah. We could have passed on those kind of lessons. I wouldn't have minded trying to be another kind of man. That would have been fine. Kind of man who eats ham, eats popcorn all through the movie, all those kind of things. Getting some texts coming in. There was from the 708. There was a Christmas. I was about 8 or 9 that my parents didn't wrap presents. We didn't get any games or toys, just clothing. They took back all the fun gifts because my brother and I were fighting so bad before Christmas. That's hardcore. Hardcore. Let's see. We got some legal questions coming in already on text, so we'll get to those. We'll get to those after. But let's get to the phones where people have these punishments that they've been waiting for. Dave is in West Dundee. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Yeah, my mom was, when I was a kid, we should have bought stock in Weyerhaeuser because my mom was a master of the wooden spoon. But the kicker was that when the wooden spoon, I had two brothers, and so three boys, you know, were out of our minds.
Right.
And the kicker was we had a fireplace, so the wooden spoon remnants were used as kindling to start the fireplace.
So she would break them right over you.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know, it would be like, and it was, you know, once you broke the wooden spoon, the spanking was over. So it was, you know, basically 1, 2, 3 hits. No, you know, it's discipline like
right.
people should be doing today, but you'll get thrown in jail for it now. But,
well, there's other ways to do it.
Yeah, but it worked for me. But anyway. It was, you know, and then she'd save the spoon part and the handle, and then when we have a fire, those would get thrown into the into the fireplace, and then you remember like a week ago when you had, when you did something wrong. But now on the good side of this is my, I grew up in River Forest. My neighbor was Tony Accardo in the candy end. On Halloween, he gave away the giant boxes of Cracker Jack.
Sure, because like they fell off a truck.
Well, yeah, well, who knows what happened? But you changed costumes like five times to go back to his house, you know, to get the giant box of the Cracker Jack. That was a cool thing.
Well, it's a good trade-off.
Yeah, my mom was a master of the wooden spoon, though. That was the tool of it. My dad never laid a hand on me, ever. It was like there was no way.
Sure, you let your mom handle it.
Yeah, There was no way for your father to get home. I'm taking care of it right now.
Very nice, a good
German mom, you know.
There you go. So, thanks, Dave.
Love your show, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Take care. Dwayne is in McHenry. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
I kind of have a shared Easter story for you. You know, every year we would have an Easter egg tradition. You know, you have an Easter egg fight. We cut up the egg, and then, you know, we would docker it up with vinegar, horseradish, mustard, salt, pepper, and I wouldn't eat it. I hate hard-boiled eggs.
Okay.
I wouldn't eat it. And my dad's like, this is a family tradition. If you don't eat it, you're going to your room. So every year I would be sent to my room. So this one year, I knew it was coming, so I put my Easter basket up in my room. I knew I was going to be sent
there. Sure, you're going up there anyway.
Yeah, so I sat down for dinner, went and ate the eggs, and then my mom cut into the Easter ham. And I don't know what was wrong with this thing.
Uh-oh.
It had, like, this gigantic tumor in it or something.
Oh.
It was just oozing liquid out of it. She took the fancy napkin, you know, like the
sure, the linen napkins, yeah.
Stuck it in there. Pulled it out, still just, I mean, I don't know where it was coming from.
Oh.
I'm not eating this ham. There's
nobody
no
eats
way.
Tumor ham.
No, and then my dad just looked at
except
me.
Except Jerry, enjoy your sandwich.
He's like, you're banished to your room. And then I went up to my room and ate my entire basket.
So wait, he sent you up not only because of you wouldn't eat the deviled egg, but because you wouldn't eat a ham that had a tumor in it?
No. He's like, just cut around it. I'm like, no.
No way.
I mean, no way. I mean, even my brothers and sisters. But because I didn't do the egg thing stuff, I was already in hot water.
So did did the rest of the family eat the tumor ham?
My parents did, and my grandparents, you know, back then, you know, they kind of, you know, they have steel stomachs. So they
sure. Depression-era people eat a tumor ham. They don't care. They're just lucky to have ham.
I mean, I'll never forget it. I know when my mom bought it at the A&T, I was like, man, don't buy it there again. You know, I don't know what was wrong with that ham, but I figured, you know what, I'm going to outsmart you, Dad. And you're not sending me up to my room hungry. So
did
I ate my entire basket.
Did they ever catch on that you had your basket up there?
No.
Nice. Well played, Dwayne. Well played. Enjoy this Easter. Hopefully it's tumor ham free.
Well, you know what? We do. I still carry it on with our family, the Easter egg thing. I have one hard-boiled egg a year, and I choke it down, but I still carry on that tradition.
Can I ask, if you hated it so much, why did you decide to keep it going?
Well, Fork's been pretty good to me over the years.
Okay.
So your taste buds changed.
Ah,
you know, I was like, you know, 8 years old then. You know?
Right.
I was a very finicky, fussy eater. About fifth grade, I discovered food.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Taste change. So, you know, maybe there's hope for me. Maybe on my deathbed I'll have him. No, but you'll choke one down. Well, Dwayne, have a happy Easter. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Maybe there is hope for me. Maybe like Dwayne can eat one hard-boiled egg. Maybe I'll have a ham sandwich someday. And maybe hell will freeze over. Maybe I'll have a tumor ham. I'm not eating that tumor ham. I'll tell you what, you serve any sort of thing to me, cut it open, and it's oozing some sort of gelatinous goo, unless it's a chicken Kiev that's supposed to squirt stuff, I'm not eating it. I'm leaving it right there. There is absolutely no way I'm eating it. Cody, come on. That one you can't not back me up on
that. Yeah, I'll mark the tape.
No,
that
you got
it's on record.
You got to back me up on that one.
No, I don't like oozing meat.
No, oozing meat. Tumor ham, Bob? Am I crazy on this one, too?
No, of course not.
All right. Thank you. See, somebody, you know, sometimes I do think that maybe I'm too far out there. But, you know, my mom cuts open a pair, you know, if I'm out there, oh, let's have a nice roast. And you open it, and then, no, thank you. It's not like one of those Cadbury eggs where it's supposed to be a creamy center. No, it's supposed to be meat-centered, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy your dinner.